Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we described a study where the authors found that elite-level athletes who undergo an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction return to sport with little or no decrease in performance. This week, we also introduced the Spanish consensus statement for clinical management and treatment of tendinopathies in sport. And finally, we had our 1,000th post on Wednesday, where we summarized a study where the authors found that elite-level soccer participation is associated with a twofold increase in knee pain, radiographic changes, and knee replacements. If we take a closer look at that last post, we find that the authors conducted a cross-sectional study to compare about 1,200 former professional soccer athletes to about 4,000 males from the general population in the United Kingdom to see if previous participation in professional soccer was associated with increased knee pain, radiographic knee osteoarthritis, and total knee replacement surgery. Researchers mailed nearly 45,000 questionnaires to males over 40 years of age who either competed professionally in soccer or who were not terminally ill and participated in the knee pain in the community study within the National Health Service in the United Kingdom. Overall, ex-soccer players had higher rates of knee pain, osteoarthritis, and total knee replacements compared with males in the general population. Former soccer players were 2 times more likely to have knee pain, a little over 3 times more likely to report being diagnosed with osteoarthritis, and almost 3 times more likely to report a total knee replacement than a typical male. Researchers completed bilateral knee x-rays on about 1,000 males to assess radiographic outcomes. The former soccer athletes were about 2 times more likely to have radiographic knee osteoarthritis than males in the general population. This was even after accounting for body mass index, age, and a history of prior knee injury. SportsMed Res was founded to help bridge the gap between research and clinical practice related to sports medicine. In our 1,000th post, we once again see evidence that some of our athletes are at high risk for poor long-term outcomes. Specifically, the authors found that former professional soccer athletes were at 2 times greater risk of reporting knee pain, having knee osteoarthritis, or a total knee replacement surgery. It was interesting that this higher risk still existed after controlling for other risk factors such as a prior knee injury, as well as body mass index and age. While knee injuries are a known risk factor for osteoarthritis and chronic knee pain, the repetitive microtrauma on a joint may also play a role in increasing the risk of long-term complications. It remains unclear if these former professional athletes are at a greater risk because of the age they started competition, the duration of their career, how they manage their injuries, for example playing through injuries or trying to return too soon, or some other factor inherent in the movements related to soccer. This study reinforces prior findings that elite-level athletes reporting musculoskeletal complications years after competition. This is more evidence, adding to our growing knowledge, that some athletes, particularly those with a joint injury or who compete at elite levels, seem to be at greater risk for long-term complications. This represents a critical moment in time for researchers and clinicians to come together to preserve our patients' long-term health and wellness. We need to come together to discuss how we can educate our patients about their risk, how they can reduce their chances of a poor outcome, and enable them to make an informed decision about continuing to compete. We also need to determine if there are steps that we can take to reduce this risk, whether it involves changes in training, additional days of rest, or modification of load. There needs to be a point where we are not okay accepting the poor outcomes as inevitable for some of our athletes. Furthermore, our young athletes shouldn't have to wait years to see research adopted into clinical practice. There are steps that we can likely take today to reduce the risk of poor long-term outcomes, such as adopting injury prevention programs, as we've discussed on our website, and patient education. This effort should be driven by researchers, clinicians, and other stakeholders, such as our patients. Since our first few posts, we have highlighted studies that show that while sports participation is often safe and a fun way to promote physical activity, there are some athletes at risk for poor long-term health outcomes. Bridging the gap between research and clinical practice is not enough. Instead, we need to seek new ways to fill in the gap and to ensure that gaps between research and clinical practice never appear again. This demands new channels of communication between researchers, clinicians, and our other stakeholders. We encourage clinicians to report cases of successful treatment and education strategies, as well as areas of concern. We also encourage researchers to make their findings more readily available and digestible to clinicians. In this effort, we at SportsMed Res will begin in the near future to open up our podcast to clinicians, researchers, and other stakeholders that would like to join the discussion. So I hope you'll join us as we try to fill the gaps between research and clinical practice and move forward to strive to provide the best care for our patients, not just today, but for tomorrow. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a blog post from the British Journal of Sports Medicine on genomics and epigenomics and their role in sports and exercise medicine. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the blog post from the British Journal of Sports Medicine on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. Come join us as we fill in the gap between research and clinical practice. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.